This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship show on the BetRivers Network. I am your host, George Ellick, and every week and sometimes twice a week, Jack, I'm joined by Jack Wright as we preview the EFL football. That is the English Championship, League One and League Two. Jack, we spoke last week, but as everyone watching this or listening to this will know, the death of Her Majesty the Queen meant that all football in England was cancelled or postponed over the weekend, meaning that those games, those fixtures didn't happen, which is a shame. So what did you get up to over the weekend?
Well, I did some writing and some work. So I gave it a chance to catch up because nothing was going to change between the weekend and today. And say for this weekend and midweek fixture list. So it was a chance to get ahead of the game. So it's quite a boring answer. I didn't go to socialise or anything. I did have a few plans, but a few of them, they were called off. So yeah. Never mind. But we got some work done and we got ahead of the game. You might have a more interesting story than that for me. I'll throw it back to you.
I was at a wedding, which meant that I was relieved that I didn't miss any football. Although I personally, you know, each their own when it comes to this. I personally thought, you know, in terms of paying respect to the Queen, a more fitting way of doing that might have been to kind of get football fans together, you know, in en masse and have a minute silence to sing the national anthem. We're both going to games this midweek. I'm going to Grimsby against Gillingham on Tuesday night for my sins. You're going to Norwich, Bristol City. And I'll certainly be taking the chance there to have a minute of silence followed by belting out "God Save the King." So we'll see how that goes.
Absolutely, yeah. I saw your tweet on that, and I agreed. I thought it was an opportunity to be able to do that, but obviously not to be. Possibly other reasons that we're not privy to. But it was, and we'll obviously do that this week. And you've got the glamour of Grimsby, and
I've glamour of Grimsby
with Norwich and Bristol City.
both heading off east for our football fixes this midweek. Before we get into our selections, three selections each in the Championship, and one a piece in League One and League Two. Just go and follow the app Because We Win Twitter handle. It is the new handicap, so the new handle for sports handicappers on the network for this season. And if you go over there, you can find all the different sports handicappers there and all the selections across all the different shows on the network. And I do recommend that you subscribe to the BetRivers Network YouTube channel as well. And you can find all of these shows. You can find all these shows as podcasts as well. Yeah, tell us.
So some great wins across Europe. The major leagues were in action over the weekend. And also, of course, the main man, Nigel Seeley, picked the futures winner of the men's US Open. So that was a exciting moment last night or in the early hours of this morning. And also the golf boys managed to pick up a bit of place money at, around about 40-1 as well. So a lot of action, even if that wasn't happening in the UK. But we'll obviously make up for that right now.
Intrigued who had a bigger night last night celebrating their win, Shane Lowry or Nigel Seeley. We'll have to find out later on. Let's get into the action now. As I say, three picks from the Championship. Jack, give us your first pick in the English Championship.
Yeah, so I've only got one selection from Tuesday night's football, and that's Middlesbrough versus Cardiff, which kicks off at 2:45 Eastern time in the States. And is this a relegation battle, George?
No.
Okay. As far as the table's concerned at the minute, it is. But we all know about Middlesbrough at this moment in time. I'm sure you'll have the data at your fingertips to show exactly why they're in a false position at the moment. As far as the basics of it are concerned, they've got a huge amount of talent on the pitch and in the dugout. And it has to turn around very soon at some point in time. But the facts remain, they're 1 point above the relegation zone at the moment and taking on a Cardiff side here who are in the relegation zone. So, it's a big game, but one obviously Borough will have eyes on winning, especially as they won their last two at home. But my bet is going to be completely going off that. I'm actually going down a cards route. And as you well know, George, I'm a fan of booking points and cards and referees. We've got a bit of a new one on the radar for me this week. So It's the only issue with this particular bet. Let me tell you the bet, first of all. It's over 3.5 cards in the match and over 1.5 cards for Middlesbrough in a same-game parlay. Odds of minus 105, which I was very happy to jump on board with, seeing the stats behind this. The referee, like I said, is a new one to me. It's James Bell, who's in charge of this game. He's only had 3 games in the Championship before. It's his first season at this level. He's had a couple of seasons in League 1 and 2. And he was pretty prolific with the cards then. He's steadied himself into the Championship. 9 yellow cards so far. My take on this one, though, is that I don't think he's going to be left with much choice. I think he's going to have to get the cards out. He's probably most notorious moment currently is the fact that he confessed to being a Ryan Lowe fan when he was about to take charge of a Ryan Lowe game when he was in charge of Plymouth, saying that he chanted his name on the Sheffield Wednesday terraces, which I'm sure went down well with the opposition managers that handed in the team sheets. But there we go. So that's his notoriety at the moment. Let's hope he'll make up for that by issuing lots of cards in this particular game. The stats behind it that I'm going for, Borough have picked up more cards than anyone else in the league so far. And they've had 15 yellow cards from their 4 home games. They've picked up 2, 3, and 5 twice, and those 5 in their last 2 home games, which obviously they both won. So I'd fancy them to win this one. I think we're going to come on to another bet in this game in a moment or two. But I'm looking along those sort of same kind of lines. As far as Cardiff are concerned, they've picked up 11 cards away from home, 2, 3, 3, and 3. And these two sides have had lots of cards in their particular game. So the home games for Middlesbrough have seen in their last 3, 6, 10, and 6. And Cardiff's away games have all crossed this line easily this season, seeing 4, 6, 6, and 7. So Borough, over 1.5 cards, have landed in all 4 of their 4 home games this season. And both these teams' respective home and away games have seen over 3.5 cards land in 7 of their 8. So it looks a really good one based on stats. I'm taking a bit of a leap of faith with the referee. I think he might be left with no choice in this game. So the bet I'm happy with, over 3.5 cards, total over 1.5 cards for Middlesbrough, odds of minus 105, so same game parlay.
Great stuff. I've got a selection in the same game for my first one, and thankfully they can both win. Because mine has nothing to do with cards, although it'd be handy if there was a card of sending off, I can promise you that. I am looking at siding with Borough here, and I'm going to back Borough to win 2-0 at plus 160. Borough are fairly short to win the game, and unsurprisingly so, and I wouldn't put anyone off that, but there's a quite a key bit of reason, I think, to oppose Cardiff scoring here, and that's because their record away from home so far in the Championship is very poor. You know, they are a side who under Steve Morrison look to be looking to keep it solid at all times. At home, it's working quite well, but away from home thus far, they have scored just 1 goal from their 4 away games, and that came at Reading in their first away game. Their 4 away games so far, they picked up 1 point. They were beaten 2-0 by both Millwall and Bristol City, and they also drew 0-0 against West Brom as well, in a game where West Brom dominated, as we've seen them do so many times this season, without getting the 3 points. Borough, as you mentioned, I do have the stats to hand. If you're looking at all the expected goals, nerdy stuff that I love, season to date so far, their expected goals ratio, so their expected goals for the ratio with their expected goals against has them 4th in the division at 57%. So a wholly positive expected goals ratio in their favour. The last 4 matches alone, they ranked 3rd with 63%. So improving as the season goes on. Whereas if you're looking at Cardiff, they are, a very miserly team for the season so far to date. Their expected goals for is the 3rd worst. Their expected goals against is the 2nd best in the league. But when you go away from home, those figures move massively. Their expected goals for away from home is just 0.57, and they're conceding 1.23. So they are really struggling to create anything of note on the road. And as I mentioned, they're the teams they played against. I think Borough, alongside West Brom, is probably going to be their toughest assignment so far. So I see very little reason why Cardiff will create much. That doesn't mean they won't necessarily score. We've already seen Romain Sawyers score twice from range this season. But I think it would have to be unfortunate in terms of the bet itself. For example, I would be amazed if we see Cardiff create over one expected goal in the game. And therefore, in my mind, it is more likely than not that they won't score. And I think Borough are a fair price to win the game. So at plus 160, hopefully loads of cards in the game, especially to the Borough boys. And also Borough can win the game to nil. And I do think Borough are a team just to keep an eye on, because their lowly position in 17th isn't a fair reflection in my mind as to how they've been so far this season. So that's my pick.
Yeah. Yeah, now Matty Crooks is in the side, so that's one card taken care of. That's just need to find another one, get that early. Then we can have the sending off for Cardiff or a couple, and then we'll just leave Borough to go and dominate.
And probably just a nice early Borough goal, so they're defending the game and they can, you know, they have to bring, yeah, you know, have to.
We've painted the picture. It's over to them now.
Perfect, exactly. done Chris Wilder's job for him. Who's your second pick in the Championship?
Okay, well, I'm on to a Wednesday night game now, which has got a 3 p.m. Eastern time kickoff, and that is Reading versus Sunderland. So, good cop, bad cop time. I'm going to leave the Reading fans to kind of flood you with complaints and troubles and venom, and I'm going to just be here cheering them on. I'm joking, of course. Reading, not really, am I?
No.
obviously you backed Reading to win last time out. It had zero effect on the hatred they have for you. So I'm hoping they'll take my side here. But I'm going with Reading. I'm taking Reading's side. I am having a little bit of a safety net because I haven't still got complete and utter total faith and trust in Paul Ince and his men. So I'm taking the zero handicap, so a tie, no bet. You can play it either way, similar odds, same odds. -113 for Reading here. So in other words, we're going for the Reading win. However, if it does end in a draw, then we do get a push and therefore we get our stake money back. So a little bit of a safety net. And I think we're both in agreement, and many others are, that Reading have got to be the surprise package of the season so far. There's no question about it. Up in the dizzy heights of third. Got to take your hat off to them. They've got the results. They've picked up some decent results, and especially at home. Obviously, one of which being that 2-1 win last time out against Stoke, which you put forward in our last show, which obviously took place. And we cashed that nicely. I think you had a plus handicap that day. We're not quite got that onside this time around, but I'm happy with what we've got there. And I think it was important for them to win that, given the game before they got hammered 4-0 by Sheffield United. And it was a good bounce back because you did have that wonder. Plymouth. Why do I keep saying Plymouth? I keep saying it so many times.
We're coming to them later.
Come on to them in a minute, yeah. How are Reading going to bounce back from that? And they did. They bounced back with a win. I think a fantastic boost for Paul Ince and for Reading fans generally was that Lucas Jao managed to get his first 90 minutes under his belt of the season. And that was then impacted by the fact that he scored both the goals in that win. So he's an influential character for them. Has got the ability to score goals, can score goals. And obviously he showed that there with a couple. Obviously he's been massive injury problems over the last couple of seasons. So getting him fit, getting 90 minutes under his belt, he's obviously now had a little bit of sort of surprising time off. So should see him come in fresh for this one as well. We all know Sunderland have been a side that I've been very impressed with. I've really enjoyed watching over the season so far. So why am I going against them here? Well, the main reason for that, obviously, is Ross Stewart being out. I've been a massive fan of his, and I think he's such an influential figure for this Sunderland side, how he plays and how they play. And I watched the game against Middlesbrough, which was last Monday. And they just looked a pale imitation of the side that I'd seen two or three times this season already. They just didn't quite have it. And Ellis Sims, I felt a bit sorry for him up front, effectively on his own. He looked isolated. He looked, I say, a shadow of the player that was been able to work off of Stewart. Stewart stretches defences so well. He's a focal point, links play up, and creates space for others. And the talent behind him and alongside him, I think, really struggled to then cope with that. Whether they can work on something, obviously, in the last week, they've had to kind of work how they're going to be without him, because he's now out for, I think, somewhere around about 7 or 8 weeks, which is going to be a massive blow for them. Obviously, the transfer window shut now as well, so they can't bring anyone else in. So it looks like it's going to be Sims trying to learn that role up there on his own. He's obviously still a young player, got bundles of talent, but seen that and has been impressive say working alongside Stewart, but on his own he struggled. I think he got his first shot off against Borough in injury time, which was say quite an against what we had seen from him up to that point of time. So that's the main reason I'm happy to fade Sunderland here. And like once that news broke, they were in my infamous notebook to say that try and kind of go against them over the next few weeks until we can see if they can manage to kind of get some positive results in Stewart's absence. And this is a tough one because, like I say, Reading's home form, they've got 100% home record, and that we can't be sniffed at. So I think if it was again, another team, like say if this was a West Brom, for example, that was going here with 100% home record and sitting third in the table, we wouldn't be able to take this bet at this price. So there is that doubt that Reading can sustain it, but I'm prepared to take the chance on this time, I say, especially with that safety net of the push should it be a draw. So yeah, impressive start from Reading, impressive at home certainly, so I'm happy to take this on at odds of -105.
Lovely stuff. I've got a draw no bet as well. It's my second selection, back to Tuesday night, back to the future. And Wigan Athletic, draw no bet is plus 100, so even money. And I cannot for the life of me work out why Huddersfield are favourites for this game. I don't get it at all. Huddersfield have been poor so far this season. They have won a game at home. That was 3-1 against Stoke in the game where Stoke missed an early penalty. And yes, of course, they were very unlucky last time. They lost 1-0 to Blackpool, but they scored and Hawkeye didn't realise the ball had gone in and didn't give the referee that all-important buzz. So they lost the game 1-0 where they should have been 1-1 with kind of 10-15 minutes to go. But their home form has been pretty poor. And then looking at that trusty expected goals table, their XG ratio at home is the worst in the division at 39%. So on basis of play so far this season, no team has had a worse ratio of chances created against chances conceded than Huddersfield so far this season. Wigan, on the other hand, have been one of the better away teams in the whole division so far. Maybe a bit of a surprise, but they've played 3 matches away from home. They got a point at Carrow Road, which they were delighted with and you know, easily could have, I mean, that game could have gone either way, I guess, and they got the point. And since then, they've gone to Birmingham, they've beaten Birmingham 1-0, and then they came from behind to beat Luton 2-1, a very difficult place to go. So Wigan, a team who are playing well on their travels, who I think are generally a much better side than this Huddersfield team at the moment, in terms of Liam Richardson versus Danny Schofield. They certainly win the managerial battle. They've got more quality through the side and they're in a better run of form, playing with more confidence. I cannot, as I say, work out for the life of me why they aren't favourites to win this one. I know it's only marginal and I know that home advantage or the perception of home advantage will have something to do with it, but I'm not seeing much home advantage in this case. So being able to get even money, taking the draw out as insurance seems like the best way to play this in my mind. So yeah, Wigan draw no bet or plus 0 on the Asian handicap at plus 100 is my second selection. Third, final, last pick in the championship for this midweek game, Jack.
Yeah, another Wednesday one for me, and another 3 o'clock kickoff Eastern time, and it's West Brom versus Birmingham. It's the draw specialist, West Brom, isn't it? 6 draws from that opening 8 games, and they're down in 16th place. And we've talked about Steve Bruce in the future show. We've talked about him a couple of times so far. Incredible to see them in that position, given the talent they've got on the pitch. Pressure has got to be mounting because, again, we'll come on to it. The process is behind the scenes. The process is behind the scores. The results, sorry, are brilliant, but the results haven't been. Let's say 6 draws. The crazy thing is that they've only taken the lead. Oh, sorry, only opened the scoring once this season, home to Hull when they won 5-2. And they've conceded the opening goal in 6 of their 8 games. It's a bizarre record that they've got. And so they've managed to draw 6 of those games. The last one, of course, was last time out, way back a couple of Fridays ago now. And Brandon Thomas Asante's debut 98th minute equaliser. So they were grateful for that particular point at home to Burnley. I'm actually swerving the trying to predict the result in this one because I can't be siding, I can't be taking West Brom on at this moment in time, regardless of who they're playing, because I just can't trust them. So I'm actually going down a route of taking corners. Again, another market that I do like to play for certain sides, and West Brom do fall into this category. They did last season and they are already showing signs that they're going to be similar for this season. The line is over 6.5 West Brom corners. It's set at -115. quite a high line, but one they've cleared very easily this season so far. As I said, the processes they are showing would suggest, and again, you'll have that exact data at your fingertips to say how well they're doing, but I'll just do my basic ones to start with. They're 88 chances they've created so far this season, which is the third highest in the division. Only Norwich with 126 shots have had more than their 120 shots at goal. They're fourth as far as possession is concerned. So they're only behind Burnley, Norwich and Swansea in the possession stakes. But I said they are doing lots with the ball. It's not just possession for possession stakes. Of those shots they had, 45 of those have been on target. So they're making the keeper work more than any other side other than Sheffield United have had 46 shots on target this season. So that final third, they're having lots of the ball and they're doing lots with it. And that's the shots kind of stats. I'll come on to the corner stats at the moment. What have you got there as far as your famous chart's concerned?
Yeah, they are top for season to date. Expected goals ratio is 70%. They are top non-penalty as well, 72%. They rank second for home expected goals ratio. And I mean, their open play expected goals ratio is absolutely unbelievable. It's 78%. So they're creating one XG per game and just 0.28 away. So like, yeah, they are, according to expected goals, probably important to point out at this stage that a lot of this will be based on the fact that they are a good team who haven't spent very much of this season in front. So game state would suggest that that plays a part. But yeah, I mean, they are in a forced position for sure.
Absolutely. And this is the reason I'm taking this particular bet on. I'll come on to the corner stats in a moment. But like I said, they are struggling to find the net. And they're giving teams a goal head start in say, six of their eight games, which is crazy. And they're up against the Birmingham side here who dig in. They sit deep. They play it quite direct into Deeney and then try and work off it. And we'll expect nothing more of the same here. They were hard side to bet against, hence why I'm just going on the corners route here. They became the first side this season to score against Preston last time out. So ending Freddie Woodman's incredible run of seven clean sheets to start the season and ended a run of three successive defeats for themselves. So they just seem to be the side at the moment that are poor, and then they'll produce a result from somewhere to kind of bob them up the league a couple of places. They've kind of jumped out of the relegation zone now. They've obviously got the takeover hanging over the head. Is it in the balance at the moment? Last time I read it was, which is going to have an impact on the players, the staff, despite them saying it won't. And obviously the supporters as well. But as I say, it's impossible to side with West Brom as far as winning the game is concerned. And I don't really want to go against Birmingham side that have only lost by more than one goal once this season. You know, their unfortunate late goal against Norwich to lose that game. And as I say, they've been kept in games all season really so far. So I expect this one to be tight. And the good news is that one occasion that West Brom did go and get the opening goal and then did go on to dominate a side and win comfortably. They also smashed a lot of corners in that game as well. So looking at the corner data, they've taken 56 corners so far. So an average of exactly seven per game, and that's home and away, which is a very, very strong average. When we take just their form at the Hawthorns into account, that rises to an incredible 10.5 average corners taken themselves per game. They've taken nine on two occasions and they've taken 12 on the other two occasions. So huge numbers. And I say generally they are chasing the game, but they've also managed to do that when they were in front and they've kept a foot on the gas. And I think they'll have to, because I don't think the home side will let them against a relatively local rival, of course. They hit eight also in this game last season as well. So they've got form for it from recent games against Birmingham as well as this season. So over 6.5 West Brom corners at -115 is the pick.
Cracking stuff. My final selection is another goal scorer. I tried to make it a hat-trick last weekend, but Naki Wells, obviously that game didn't go ahead. So this is my attempt now. And it's Ozan Tufan to score anytime at +370. So a big price for this anytime goal scorer pick. They're at home to a side who... they are at home to Stoke, a side who I'm happy to get against. You know, Stoke last time we saw them went to Reading and lost the game 2-1. They were poor in that game. We spoke about it in the show last week. Hull, I think we're going to see, you know, already this season that their games are incredibly open. You know, Hull are a team in my mind who, even when they're well beaten, you know, but they were beaten 5-2 by West Brom, for example, even in the 2-0 loss against Sheffield United, in that game, they missed plenty of chances. And I think they're a side who are rarely, unlike Cardiff, what I said earlier in the Middlesbrough game, I think when Hull are well beaten, they're going to have their own chances in the game, even if they concede plenty as well at the other end. So I'm pretty confident they're going to create. Tufan is a player who's very versatile. He's played at right back for much of his career, played at in defensive midfield, played in kind of a number eight role. But at Hull at the moment, he's playing as a 10. He's playing behind Oscar Estupiñán. And he is a bit of a shot monster, especially at home. He's played three home games this season, Tufan. Played 73 minutes against Bristol City on opening day and had five shots, including scoring a goal. He also, in the home game against Norwich, they won 2-1. He had three shots in that game. And last time out against Sheffield United, he had two shots in 77 minutes as well. So he's not even playing 90 minutes and he's getting himself into goal-scoring opportunities. And he scored twice this season, scored against Burnley as well in the 1-1 draw. So he scored two goals from five games, getting into opportunities. I think he's being priced up as if they're not entirely sure where he's going to play. But I think it's pretty obvious at the moment he's going to play as a 10. And with John Serry set to come back into the side after his own injury, that is a big plus for Hull. Harvey Vale, a player who comes in with a big reputation from Chelsea on loan, should make his debut here as well. I think we're going to see a stronger Hull generally. And at the prices at the moment, I don't think it's necessarily been factored in exactly where Tufan is playing. So at plus 370, I am very, very confident that that is not an accurate representation of the chance of him getting on the score sheet. So that is my attempt to bring up the hat trick of anytime goal scorer winners, having got Josh Sargent and Naki Wells in the into the satchel over the last few weeks.
Nice. Glad you got one for Wales this week.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I thought about it.
I bet you did.
Those are our selections. I'm just going to quickly run through the other games in the Championship that we haven't spoken about. So you also have Blackburn who face Watford. Blackburn plus 180, Watford plus 133. Blackburn, one of the sides at the moment who I would say are the most alarming in terms of pure numbers. Doesn't stack up as to their points tally thus far. Swansea hosting Sheffield United. Sheffield United plus 116, Swansea plus 205. Preston North End against Burnley. Will the ketchup bottle finally explode when neither you or I have it on our table? Preston plus 180, Burnley plus 143. Luton against Coventry, Luton minus 103, Coventry plus 245. Millwall against QPR, Millwall plus 116, QPR plus 205 there. Rotherham hosting Blackpool, Rotherham plus 116, Blackpool plus 210. Those are the other games in the Championship in this midweek docket. On then to League One and League Two, and a League One pick that I think you were worried I was going to get upset because I'm an Oxford fan, but then I've told you that I backed them as well, so it's all okay.
Yes, your beloved Oxford. Yeah, Plymouth is the bet. Simple as that. Plus 118. I was stunned by the price. It was crazy. Mm. I couldn't understand it. I said to you earlier before we started recording, if their name was different, then if this was Ipswich, if this was Sheffield Wednesday, this price would be minus 100% fat. They've got incredible stats, especially at home. And I think they're just continuing massively undervalued. We talked about them in the future show. We both got them on side as far as like futures bets are concerned. We've got them up, obviously, as one of ours here. And continually, they're playing well, scoring points, up in third in the table and still are getting undervalued. Absolutely. I'm going to throw it over to you for the Oxford side of things, but just quickly to tell about the Plymouth. They're off the back of a great win at Derby, which you put up as well in the last time out, which is fantastic. Three successive wins. Of their last four games, they've beaten Peterborough, Bolton and Derby. Sides all expected to be up in the playoff mix. So they're up to third in the league, just 2 points off the top. They've won nine of their last 11 games at home in the league. They've kept 10 clean sheets from the last 11 League One games. The only blot on that was a mad last game of the season where they lost 5-0 at home. So they made, you know, when they did concede, they went all in. But like 10 clean sheets in the last 11 is incredible. Three wins from three games at home this season without conceding a goal. So they're up against an Oxford side. Yes, they've picked up two wins on the bounce, but those were against Burton and Cheltenham, sides that are obviously expected to be and are down at the bottom. Done for Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank at Burton, as far as his job's concerned. Lost 3-0. Over to you. Talk me about Oxford.
Yeah, Oxford have big issues at the moment, especially in terms of injuries. Elliot Moore, a very significant centre-back, is out injured, which means that John Messinho, who'd kind of semi-retired almost, is likely to play at centre-back again. James Henry, who's an attacking player without a defensive bone in his body, played right wing-back last time out. Kieran Brown, who's a left-sided centre-back, played left wing-back. Matt Taylor, Oxford's key marksman, out injured too. So yeah, there are massive injury issues at the club. And I'd be surprised if Oxford, if many of the players are back who would help that. A very good defensive record seems to be clouding people's judgment, I think, of Oxford at the moment. You know, in my trusty XG tables, Oxford ranked very highly because of the good XG against figures. But apart from Derby on opening day, the fixture list has been very kind to Oxford, and they haven't played up against an attack as potent as Plymouth Argyle yet. And I have a feeling that good defensive record could go out the window as well. So, I'm all on board.
Good. You've not put me off. Happy days. Plymouth did the double over you last season as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
So anyway, Plymouth to win plus 118.
And looking into League Two for the final selection, I am putting up Sutton, who are playing away at Swindon. Sutton, Jorno Bet at plus 117. Sutton have had a brilliant start to the season. Been so impressed with them. The data stacks up as well. I still think they're continually mispriced because they're plucky little Sutton, and no one expects them to be good enough to maintain a promotion challenge. But on the basis of last season, they were a side not much worse than Dan Swindon. They'd finished just outside the playoffs. This season, they're in 11th with 3 wins from 7 games, but I have a feeling they're going to make their way up the table. Whereas Swindon, I mean, they're hard to beat, it's fair to say. You know, they are, they've only won one game this season, but they've also only lost one game, 5 draws in that time. But last time we saw them go to Gillingham and struggle to put away a 10-man Gillingham who had a red card after 10 minutes, you know, there are many reasons to think they are not a side anywhere near the level that we saw last season under Ben Garner. Harry McCurdy, their key player, has left and gone up north to Scotland to Hibs. And yeah, I personally think that Sutton, you know, are probably the better team between the two. And that is, again, stacked out in the expected goals data, where Sutton rank 2nd in the division behind Mansfield for the last 4 matches and 3rd in the season to date. Swindon very much a mid-table side for both of those data points as well. So nothing to be particularly worried about, I think, in terms of what Swindon can do. Nothing to put me off. And especially given that Swindon have drawn 5 of their 7 games, being able to get your money back and odds against if it is a draw is too good for me to pass up. So yeah, I'm siding with Sutton plus 0 on the Asian handicap at plus 117. There we have it, Jack, a midweek whistle stop tour of the games. Yes. Have a good time at Carrow Road on Wednesday night for the game against Bristol City. Probably be a few goals, I'd have thought.
Yeah, expecting goals at both ends, certainly. I'm looking forward to seeing the likes of Conway, Semenya, if he's playing, Bristol City in action in the flesh for the first time this season. And as I say, I think there'll be action at both ends. As to who wins, we'll have to wait and see on that one. I'm not sure. But both teams to score the bet for that one, 100%. And you enjoy Grimsby.
Thank you very much. I think Grimsby, a touch of odds on, which if I was going to have a bet in the game, I'd probably be just backing them against the Gillingham side, who, you know, actually maybe are due a bit of luck at some point themselves. But yeah, enjoy the football. Do go and check out the app Because We Win Twitter handle, where you can find all the different sports handicappers who produce content on the Bet Rivers network there. Do subscribe to the Bet Rivers network YouTube channel. Loads of content, as Jack was saying, you know, not just us talking about the EFL, but Premier League previews, European football previews, golf, tennis, everything else you can find up there. So do go and subscribe. And you can find all of these shows on any podcast provider as well. So do enjoy all the sport, enjoy the football. Hopefully we get as many games going ahead here in the UK as possible. Hopefully we see some good tributes to Her Majesty the Queen before the games as well. As is always the case. Hopefully we've tipped up a couple of winners. We'll be back ahead of the weekend's fixtures on Thursday as well. So do keep your eyes peeled for that. But in the meantime, please do ensure that you're gambling responsibly.